All right, good morning. Morning. Let's try that one more time. Good morning.
Morning.
All right. My name is Josh. I'm one of the leaders around here, and welcome to week three of our current series, The Good Revolution. Man, Center Church needs a hype man. Whenever we're up here for worship, like, man, I think I'd be perfect, the perfect person for the job. Just somebody with a gold grill, a gold chain with a big old clock on it. Be like, put your hands up, put your hands up. I think I'd be the a perfect choice for that. Okay, that was awkward. Never mind. You know, I was talking to my fiance recently. She was trying to help me with this message, and guess what? Like every joke I tried to pull out, she's like, "Babe, I don't know, man. That doesn't sound too funny." But we'll make it through. We've been talking about the kind of love that turns the world right side up, and Pastor Marcus, he walked us through a very clear picture of God's love for us. You know, sometimes we have this distorted view about God, about who he is, and you know, that generates these roadblocks in our belief system. You know, I used to view God as, for some odd reason, this kind of like big, high, and lofty being sitting on a golden throne, you know, waiting to strike me, you know, with lightning if I were to do something wrong, you know, like, you cursed, or you ate too much donuts, or something like that. And I used to have that kind of view about God, but you know, we learned last week that in actuality, he is constantly pursuing us like a father-to-child-like relationship and loves us apart from our performances. So if you missed it, I highly encourage you to catch it online or through our podcast because it was good. Not because last week's speaker was all that great or anything, all right? He was all right. But it was just one of those messages where I was like, oh my goodness, God is actually here with us. I had that feeling. Guys, God's doing something special and powerful here at Center Church, and it's an amazing thing to experience, something really amazing to see people grow like from one life stage to the next and go and follow Jesus. It's just been pretty awesome. So whether you've been with us from this from the Genesis of Center Church or you know just recently started investigating what we're all about, I want you to know that you're in a very safe place to explore the claims of who Jesus says he actually is and to test those waters of faith, okay? Something we say pretty often around here is this: you can belong before you believe. You can belong before you believe, and that's something we really stand strong on. And today, if you're just searching for more, if it's just been one of those weeks where, man, this was just one of those really bad, hard weeks, and you feel like you got the candle burning on both ends, and life is just crushing you. You're probably looking for hope today. Some of us today, you're looking for like a way out. You're looking for answers. I want you to know that you're exactly where you need to be. You're in the right place because God's here, and he totally wants to revolutionize your life. You know, my life verse is not in your notes or anything. It's this, Psalms 40, verse 2, and this is what it says. He lifted me up. He lifted me out of the pit of despair, out of the mud and the mire. He set my feet on solid ground and steadied me as I walked along. I remember a time where, man, I was just barely scraping the bottom of the bucket in despair, just without hope. But I do remember a time when Jesus came into my life. I invited him in and he changed me and he took me out of that place. Some of you guys, you're in that place right now. But I want you to know that God is out there. He's here with us today, and he wants to totally revolutionize your life. So just relax and let God do what he does best, all right? So today we're talking about ideas based on what Jesus said that can totally revolutionize our relationships for the better. I've entitled this talk, Friendship Revolution, and I believe that as we dig into a better understanding of what God had in mind for us, that in a real and practical way, we'll be able to live out healthy friendships and relationships. That's what we're talking about today. So our study starts in Matthew 22, verse 34 to 39. It'll be on the screens, and in your notes it says this, "Teacher, which is the most important commandment in the law of Moses?" Jesus replied, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. A second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself." Love your neighbor as yourself. If you're taking notes or you have a pen with you, go ahead and circle or underline, love your neighbor as yourself. You know, it's a pretty interesting to notice that Jesus made the comparison that loving your neighbor is just as equally as important as loving God. You know, when asked the question, Jesus, he took what was complicated and he made it very simple. He took a list of over 600 Jewish laws and he said, hey, let me make this really simple for you guys, all right? Let me boil it down to these two very important things, the most important things you can do in your life, and it's this: love God and love others as yourself. Love God and love others as yourself. These are two teachings that cannot be separated. Loving God without loving people is nearly impossible. You cannot deviate the two. Loving God is my relationship with him, and loving others is my relationship with people. If you haven't gotten the hint of what Jesus is trying to tell us, it's this: we were created for relationship. We're created for it. And if you study the life of Jesus and his earthly ministry, you would quickly see that he spent a majority of his time around huge crowds of people. Jesus was just a people person. He made it to the neighborhood barbecue. You saw him at the local coffee shop. He was doing squats or deadlifts at Jerusalem's 24-hour fitness. Jesus was everywhere. I can just imagine Jesus with wearing a t-shirt that says, bro, do you even lift the sins of the whole world? Think about it. God help me. He was breaking bread with people. He was teaching people about a better way of living. He was healing people. Jesus made it a priority to actively engage with the community around him. That's why we do Restore Projects. Just recently, if you guys were there, I know many of you guys were, we did a Restore Project for women who had been affected by human trafficking, an issue that is pretty rampant around San Diego, but you don't hear about it a lot in the news. We did that. We helped them out. We built a garden for them. We made a chicken coop for them. We did all kinds of things to engage in our community. Recently, we had the men's paintball event. Who was there at the men's paintball event? That's right. There you go. It was awesome. Just a bunch of dudes getting together, shooting each other with paintballs. You know, it's what guys do best, right? Just kind of hurt each other. But it was awesome. We spent time together in community. And then the ladies just had an event. I was talking to a few people before the service. I heard that it was awesome. We had a great turnout, over like 140 people, right? Hey, let's give it up. Let's give it for the ladies. That's awesome. It was called Significant. And as Jesus people, we believe that being involved in relationship with our communities, that's what we feel what Jesus did, and that's why we do it too. So whether in family or in friendships or romance, we were created to experience and take part of life-giving, purposeful relationships. Some initial thoughts about relationships is this: relationships are God-given. Relationships are God-given. No one ever meets by chance. Every person you've ever come across, whether you are thankful for them or you wish they went to heaven or the other place, right? God, in all his wisdom, seeing the bigger picture, he strategically orchestrates every friendship and relationship we have ever had. Relationships are God-given. Second, relationships have lasting impact. Think about that. Relationships have lasting impact. Do you have that one friend or group of friends from, you know, maybe high school, college, elementary school? Even though it's been like years from when the last time you guys saw each other, when you get together, it feels like you're just hanging out like yesterday, the day before, like nothing's changed. People start exchanging stories about, you know, like dumb, dangerous things you guys used to do in the past, and you guys have big mouth laughs, and there's just like this euphoric feeling of, man, I remember when we used to, ... whatever that looks like. I don't know what that is, right? And that's because relationships have lasting impact. I went to a very small Christian school in National City. And, you know, my graduating class was 11 people. Woohoo! Yeah, class of 2004. Wow, I'm gonna be 30. 11 people in my, 11 people in my class. We were very small, 98% like Filipino. So it was pretty easy to be, yes, right. Anyway, Pac-Man won yesterday, actually, so just by the way. 11 people in my graduating class. We were very small. So it was easy to kind of be like the big man on campus, you know? Small pond, big fish type of thing. And I played varsity basketball. It was easy. Hey, it was easy to be the star player when the average height was like 5'5". So I would actually, you know, look down at the other players. Hey, man, pass me the ball. You know, I was one of the taller guys there. But just recently, a couple days ago, I was hanging out with a couple of my buddies from, you know, from high school. And it was like, man, nothing's ever changed, man. We're still the same. It's kind of sad. But it was one of those things where, man, I remember this. It's because relationships have lasting impact. Third, relationship choices are critical. Here's a really important one. Relationship choices are critical. Are relationships God-given? Yes. Yes, they are. Were we created for relationship? Yes. Then why are they critical? Jesus warns us in the book of Proverbs about the difference between life-giving and life-depleting relationships. Proverbs 27, verse 19, it says this, a mirror reflects a man's face, but what he is really like is shown by the kind of friends he chooses. The kind of friends he chooses. Relationship choices are critical. It's kind of a serious thing. Knowing God's point of view of what he intended for us is good, but now what can we do with what we know? What are the things that we can do in response so that we can experience and take part in life-giving, purposeful relationships and friendships? When you consider relationships that have the ability to revolutionize your life, either for the positive or the negative, there's three important questions we should ask ourselves. Number one, in your notes, it's this. Am I nurturing important relationships? Am I nurturing them? Am I doing everything I can to help nurture and grow the relationships that are very important to me? You know, now some of us need to take a very heartfelt, inventory of what's really important to us, all right? Is your family important to you? Think about that. Is your spouse important to you? Are your neighbors important to you? Maybe not that much, all right? Are your friends important to you? What are those relationships that you set aside as priority? These are the important relationships in my life. Am I nurturing them? I think we can all agree that it takes time. It takes time. Physical, tangible minutes and hours of your day. You know, one of the biggest obstacles in nurturing relationships is time. We're all given 24 hours in a day, 7 days a week. And do some people have a bit more like on their plate than others? Yes. And no one can buy more time. We can't like rewind the clock backwards, buying ourselves more. Trust me, I would if I could, but we can't do that. But the real question is, are we efficiently prioritizing our time, enabling us to nurture the relationships that are most important to us? Prioritizing it. In John Ortberg's book, The Life You've Always Wanted, that's a good resource. If it's an awesome read. If there's something that you're kind of looking for to help resource growing in Christ, I would recommend this book, John Ortberg, The Life You've Always Wanted. He says something pretty convicting about time. Listen to what he says. Love and hurry are fundamentally incompatible. Love always takes time, and time is the one thing hurried people don't have. Time is the one thing hurried people don't have. Let me ask you a question. Are you busy or are you hurried? Are you busy or are you hurried? This is what busy is. Busy is I have a full schedule. I have many activities. A lot of things are going on. It's an outward condition, and it's very physically demanding. Am I busy? And this is what hurried is. You're preoccupied. You're unable to be present. You might be sitting around all the family at dinner time or maybe at work with your coworkers, but you're unable to be present. Your mind is somewhere else. It's an inner condition of the soul. It's spiritually draining. Let me ask you, are you busy or are you hurried? Time is so important. It's because what we do with it determines our quality and impact in our lives. It's so important. Relationships take work, and work takes time, but you'll always have time for what's important to you. You'll always have time. Not only does it take time, but second, it takes effort. It takes effort. We got to put the motion to the potion, baby. All right? You got to put in the work. Galatians 5, 13 to 15, it says this: it is absolutely clear that God has called you to a free life. Just make sure that you don't use this freedom as an excuse to do whatever you want to do and destroy your freedom. Rather, use your freedom to serve one another in love. Underline, serve one another in love. That's how freedom grows. For everything we know about God's word is summed up in a single sentence: love others as you love yourself. That's an act of true freedom. If you bite and ravage each other, watch out. In no time at all, you'll be annihilating each other. And where will you serve one another in love? Nurturing relationships, they take effort. And I'll tell you what, it's a whole lot easier for me to love myself than it is for me to love other people. 99% of the time, it takes like zero effort for me to love me. Am I the only one? Am I the only one who thinks that way or kind of gravitates that way? I think it's pretty fitting for a ton of us here, right? But a recurring challenge that we find in the life and character of Jesus is that he calls us not just to do the easy things, but the most important. He calls us to do the most important. Am I nurturing important relationships? Am I taking the time? Am I putting in the effort? Second, am I severing harmful relationships? Am I severing harmful relationships? Is this relationship or friendship life-giving, or is it life-depleting? Think about that. Am I becoming the best version of myself as a result of who I let influence me or influence my thinking? You know, sooner or later, you'll pick up little habits from the guys at work or the girls that you gravitate to. I notice that's just something that just happens. And Proverbs kind of paints this word picture of how friendships strongly influence us as people. It's pretty eye-opening. Check it out. Proverbs 13, verse 20, it reads this: walk with wise people and become wise. Befriend fools and get in trouble. Who here can honestly say that they've befriended a fool or a time or two? Wow, that's actually a lot. I didn't think a lot of people would do that. But for all of you who actually didn't put your hand up, maybe you might be the fool that was befriended. Think about that, right? And guys, it's not the right time for you to like this to your wife or point there. A funny thing that happens with my fiance and I, Brianna, we'll go to church, and it's funny being up here. Like if you're talking on a certain subject, you'll see somebody like, if you hit a certain point, they're like, "Hey, that's you," or whatever, right? Me and her, like after service, we'll talk about what we learned, and then she'll be like, "Man, babe, he was talking about this, and man, I was just really thinking about you. Like, man, Josh really needs that." And I'll be like, "Oh, okay, all right, Jesus. I didn't see you walk on water this week, But it's just it's just a funny thing that happens from time to time. Let me ask you, have you ever befriended a fool? And if you have befriended a fool, where has that taken you? How has that reflected in your life? And Proverbs is back at it again in chapter number 12, and he says this: the righteous choose their friends carefully, but the way of the wicked leads them astray. That's powerful stuff. I think Proverbs is onto something here. When we initiate the hard reality of severing harmful relationships, first, we gotta be aware. Down in your notes, just be aware. Understand what's happening around you. Being careful of who you let influence your thinking. Proverbs says, be aware, be cautious. This isn't in your notes, but Proverbs 27, it says this: the prudent sees danger and hides himself, but the simple go on and they suffer for it. How true is that? Next, avoid toxicity. Not only be aware, but avoid toxicity. The main trait of something toxic is how much it infects another organism. First, it infects, then it damages, then destroys, and then it makes what it affects exactly like it. That's a toxic relationship. That's a toxic progression of harmful relationships. You know, growing up, I had a very close friend to me. We went to middle school together and high school. And then in high school, I remember just when we were together, for some odd reason, I was this different person. We made it a point to like ruin other people's days. I have no clue why. We thought it was cool. We thought we were cool. You know, school of 100 kids. We thought we were the, you know, big man on campus, right? Anyway, for some reason, we're together. We would just always like ravage on people, make them feel bad, and it made us feel better. But I only did that when I was with him. I remember a time in my life where God, as a young person, God was working on my heart. I started making decisions about following Jesus and just, you know, kind of changing my life. I remember having to sever that relationship with that person, and I caught a lot of flack for it. Man, you're fake, you're not a true friend, all this and that, and it was hard for me. It was hard for me to sever that relationship, but that relationship was getting very toxic. I didn't like who I was becoming when we were together. I didn't like it. And sometimes, you know, that's a really hard decision for most of us. There's some people that we can think of right now at work that we hang out with that when we're with them, we act differently. We're a little bit more critical with other people. It's easy to slander somebody else. It's easy to kind of put somebody else down, or we just have this attitude when we're with that person. I don't know what that is, but that's a toxic relationship. You know, sometimes you don't want to sever those relationships, but oftentimes it's needed. It's needed. It's needed in order for there to be growth. It's needed in order for there to be maturity so that we can be the best versions of what God intended for us in our lives. Lastly, am I initiating meaningful relationships? Am I initiating meaningful relationships? Ask yourself, have I tried moving past the acquaintance zone and tried, you know, creating deeper, meaningful friendships? You know, the Bible talks about a friendship so deep and loyal, it even exceeds family relation. If you look at Proverbs 18:24, this is what it says: one who has unreliable friends soon comes to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. I like that. And I love how the book of John says, he kind of hits it on the head about meaningful friendships. John 15:15, no longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. I love that. He's saying, you know, you don't work for me anymore. You don't have to, you know, put the food on the table where I sit. You don't have to, you know, place the utensils on the table for, you know, where I eat. Come and sit with me. You're no longer my servant. Dine with me. Let's eat together because we are friends. Initiating meaningful relationships challenges us first to step out of the comfortable. Step out of comfortable. Can I challenge you guys today? Step out of your comfort zone. Step out of that place where it's very easy to kind of hide behind somebody else or just like in the shadows. Step out of that little one-man foxhole that you kind of built for you and yourself. Step out of comfortable. You know, the easiest way to meet new people is just to say, hi, my name is, what's your name? Just as easy as that. For some people I know, it makes their anxiety level just kind of blow through the roof. And, you know, before you shake someone's hand, you got to, like, you know, pop an Ativan or something like that. I get it. It can be scary. You know, we're not all Jen Jones, all right? Like, hey, Jen. Like, it's just not in our personality. We're not like that. It's, you know, and that's awesome about her. I love that about her. But that's not all us, right? But can I challenge you? Step out of your comfort zone. Because I want to encourage you with a very scriptural fact that we were never meant to do this life alone. We were never meant to do this life by ourselves. Step out of comfortable. Last one and we're done. I know you guys like it when I preach because I'm quick. So, Marcus, if you're watching online, man... Last one, jump into meaningful. Jump into meaningful. Jump into a purpose-filled, life-giving relationship, the kind that God intended for us to live out. Won't you consider jumping to a small group if you haven't been to a small group yet? Won't you jump into a small group? You know, new seasons of groups launch May 8th, and Nevi Nelson, she is in charge of our small groups and stuff, so if you need more information, you just go to her or even Evan and ask them about it. If you haven't jumped into a small group, it's an amazing thing. I'm a part of a couples one on Wednesday nights at the Loft. We have men's groups, women's groups, couples groups, young adults. How about this? How about if you've already been in a small group, or even if you haven't, what about hosting a group? How about stepping out in faith to do that? Can I tell you this? If you feel like a little inkling, like a little pulling on your heart, can I say that that is faith and that is God? And if you don't listen to that, you are going to miss out on something so amazing that God had planned for you, but you're like, I don't know. Like, I want to stay in my little foxhole. I'm not very, you know, I'm not a people person. You know, all it takes is just maybe brewing some coffee, putting some cookies out. Hey, let's all hang out and talk about Jesus. Sometimes that's all it takes. And then people open up, they get comfortable. You start getting to know each other. Meaningful relationships, hosting a group. What about the new Celebrate Recovery starting Tuesdays at the Loft? That's for us who have hangups in life or things that we've been struggling with. No matter what that looks like, I want to encourage you to take part of that if you can. Let's do this. Let me pray, and then we're going to take the connection card out here in a second, okay? Dear God, thank you so much for today. I thank you for my friends here that came out, and they came to listen to what you wanted to tell us. God, would you allow us, Lord, to take part and to take root in meaningful life-filled, purposeful relationships, God. It's so easy for us to be drowned by just everything that happens from day to day, God. I pray for the ones who are hurting, that they put a smile on their face, you know, when they walk in the doors, but inside they're scraping the bottom of the bucket. They don't know what to do, and they need answers, God. I pray for them today. I pray for the ones who are struggling with toxic relationships, God, that you allow them to make that decision to step out in faith and to be very cognizant of what you want for them in their lives in order for them to grow in you and to be nurtured. For those who have maybe put aside maybe family relationships, kids, wife, spouse, whatever that looks like, God, would you help us to really think about our relationships and make a decision today that will totally impact our life and revolutionize it for the better? That we can be better followers of you, God, and just live life to the spectacular because we followed you, God. Would you please help us today? In your name, amen.